Good morning. It's wonderful to be back. Some of you probably didn't even know that I left, but I feel like I left for a while. Being gone during the week changes the way the whole week feels when you're out of town for a while. So it's good to be back in town. Unfortunately, I think the Montana snow came with us, so I hope you enjoy it, but it's good. Some of you noticed my wife is gone. That's kind of a surprise thing that happened while we were on this trip. We were driving, and as we're driving down Lookout Pass over into Montana, it was really clear then, but we're driving, and if you've been on that road in Montana, there's not a lot on it. So we get this phone call, and my wife's grandfather is actually doing surprisingly well, which created some problems for looking after him since he got discharged from the hospital way too early. So my wife is in Wisconsin looking after her grandfather, who is all full of energy, even though he just had some heart bypass stuff. So that's where she is for about a week and a half or so. She won't be back till next Sunday evening. But I was thankful as we drove down that pass and got that phone call that she was able to go help. I was thankful for this gentleman that I have a picture of. I was thankful for this guy, right? Because we're on Verizon. And if you've driven that road, it is rough for cell signal service, right? Mike, since he's also on the track to becoming like an ordained pastor person, had to also be at this thing. And I think he has a different cell network because he did not get nearly as good a service as I did. And I was really thankful that the Can You Hear Me Now man had been through that pass, apparently, and given us service. Have you ever wondered what it's like to be the guy on the other end of the phone call to that guy? Like, is there someone that shows up at Verizon as his job, like if there really was a job, right? And he shows up and his job every day is to be like, yes, yes. That's all he does all day. Answers the phone and says yes. Can you imagine? That's where my mind goes when I think of that. That'd be a really boring job. But I'm thankful for him because my wife had cell service. Can you hear me now? It's the tagline, right? Can you hear me now? It seems to me that throughout the Gospels, Jesus is regularly asking us a very similar question. Can you hear me now? Are you hearing what I'm saying? Jesus seems to be kind of regularly concerned with whether or not we're able to hear the voice of God. Let me give you a couple references. John 10:27. Jesus says this, "My sheep listen to my voice, and so I know them, and they follow me." Mark 3:23. "If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." John 5:25. "A time is coming," and he says, "as now come, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live." And in Revelation, you hear the voice of God saying, "I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come and eat with him, and he with me." Jesus made a lot of statements that sound like, "Can you hear me now?" This is the shift we're in this week. The shift from asking to listening. The shift from asking God for a lot of things to starting to listen to what it is that he's saying. We're going to be in Mark chapter 9. We've been in Mark's 8, chapter 9 and 10, the last couple weeks. Today we'll be in chapter 9 if you want to turn there. Before we go there, though, I want to look at Mark chapter 4. I don't know if you want to turn there first or not. If you have your Bibles, feel free to do that. If you don't have your Bibles, I encourage you to bring them. We try to use them every Sunday as much as possible. And Mark chapter 4 first, and then we're going to go to Mark chapter 9. There's a story in Mark chapter 4 that we're all familiar with, and it's going to serve as kind of a framing discussion for most of the book of Mark. It starts in Mark chapter 4 in verse 3, and it's the parable of all the different seeds, right? The parable of the farmer and where he plants his seeds. But that parable starts with this. Number 3, verse 3. Jesus says this to the people listening. He says what? Listen. Listen. The first thing he says is listen. He goes on to tell the story of the farmer and the four kinds of seeds. We're familiar with those, right? Some fell on the road, some fell on the rocky ground, some fell among the thorns, and some on good soil. He tells this whole story. And then in verse 9, he says again, "If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." Of course, we see the disciples get confused again. And so immediately after verse 9, they're all saying, "Jesus, what was that whole thing about?" And he doesn't do this very often in the New Testament, but at this moment, he actually explains the parable to them. He gives them a pretty straightforward, simple explanation for the parable. And he fleshes it all out. And again, in verse 23, when he's done, he says, "If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." So Jesus starts this parable saying, "Listen." He He twice says, if you have ears to listen, to hear, then hear. And the entire parable really is about what? People receiving and hearing the message and how they receive and hear it. This parable in the book of Mark, if you look at chapter 3, it comes right after Jesus chooses his disciples, and after his family, he kind of leaves them and moves on about his mission. This is one of the first things he does to teach in the book of Mark. It's almost like Mark saying, everything that happens after this, that Jesus is going to say, you need to have ears to hear. You need to be able to listen. If you don't listen, it's not going to be able to help you very much. So we come back to chapter 9. Just a chapter after that moment when Jesus or Peter is told, you don't have the mind of God, from earlier this, we talked about that earlier in our series. We're right after that. In Mark chapter 9, verses 1 through 8, Jesus takes Peter, and he takes James, and he takes John, and he goes up on the mountain. Let's look and read together Mark 9, 1 through 8. And Jesus was saying to them, truly I say to you, there are some of you who are standing here who will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God, after it has come with power. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and brought them up on a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his garments became radiant and exceedingly white, as no launderer on earth can whiten them. Elijah appeared to them along with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. For he did not know what to answer, and they became terrified. Then a cloud formed, overshadowing them, and a voice came out of the cloud, this is my beloved Son, listen to him. All at once they looked around and saw no one with them anymore except Jesus. Peter, James, and John get invited by Christ to go up onto a mountain with him. It's just the four of them. That's got to be a surprising moment. He's been with the disciples for quite a while now. We know they've been together for about 2 years. And he just takes three of you and says, I want you guys to come with me on this little adventure up on the mountain. As they go up, I'm sure they have no idea what to expect. Jesus is, the word we have in our dictionary Bibles is transfigured. Transfigured. The word trans means to like shape or fashion something, to make something. Figure is just like our English word, figure, right? To make the figure different. And it says we know that his garments were changed and that he was brilliant and white and shiny. And then all of a sudden, two guys who these disciples would have known about growing up, Moses and Elijah, two prophets, they show up and they start having a conversation with Jesus. That's got to be getting the disciples' attention. I mean, put yourself in their shoes for a minute, right? I would think that I'd be paying attention. In fact, I think I'd be paying a lot of attention. So it's surprising to me then that when the cloud comes, one of the first things the voice says is, listen. I feel like I'd be listening. I would be very much listening at that moment. Listen to him. This is my Son. And then poof, gone. And it's just Jesus and the disciples. The message is pretty clear, right? This is the Son of God, the only beloved Son. And I need you, disciples, to listen. I know you've been following him. We just talked about this for 2 years. But I still have to tell you, because apparently you're not getting it, you need to listen to Jesus. Not just hear his teaching, but listen to the man. When we want to be followers of Jesus and consider ourselves his disciples, our whole life ends up becoming a shift towards listening. Toward listening to what Jesus is saying. And here's the problem with this shift. From asking to listening to Jesus, is we're really good at asking. We are really, really good at asking. Especially in our culture. We ask all the time, constantly. We are constantly asking. Do you know, in 2013, Google put out a little thing that said that every day they get 1 billion questions. It's like with a B. Google gets 1 billion questions every day. That was in 2013. I assume the number goes up. And they said that 15% of those questions are questions they've never seen before. Every day. That is a lot of questions. We are constantly asking something. I couldn't resist, so I looked for some of the craziest things people have asked for on Google, because it just is the way that I am. So there were questions like, what would happen if the earth stopped spinning? What would happen if I hired two private investigators to follow each other? I found I found this image for those of you that love the Lord of the Rings. How do you get from the Shire to Mordor on foot? Well, Google Maps comes up and says, caution, one does not simply walk into Mordor. Right? Okay, people search for these things. Is it legal to sleep in your car? Why are you so obsessed with me? Can Chuck Norris slam a revolving door? This one killed me. Someone searched for how do you use Google, right? We ask a lot of questions. We are constantly asking questions. We go to Google. We Bing something. We dictionary.com something. We Wikipedia things. We read stories. We ask people. We watch videos. We talk to our friends. We post it on Facebook. We have discussions. We ask and ask and ask and talk and talk and talk. We're really good at asking, right? We're really good at talking. And I think we might even read our Bibles this way. We might even read our Bibles in more of a perspective of asking instead of listening. We pick parts and stories we like and we ask what we want to hear from them. We consider what we think to be the most relevant and we explore those areas. But often it never occurs to us when we're asking that God might have interests that have nothing to do with ours. He might have his own set of goals and objectives and interests. He might want to say something entirely different than the questions that we're asking. We have mastered asking. We'll ask authors and friends and therapists, what does God want me to do? What does God want me to do? But we'll never take time to listen to God himself speak. Let me give you some maybe ways to picture the difference in asking and listening. What it might look like. When we are in the position in our soul of asking, we're constantly talking, just like we do with all of our normal questions in the world. So our minds are very busy and they're active, trying to figure out what the next question is. We're constantly wanting to ask something of God, and so we only are focused on things from our perspective. But when we listen, we stop talking long enough to be more passive in the conversation. And we're open to new directions of thought. We're not just interested in the way we see things. We're interested in hearing something different. When we ask, we do it because we want to know something. We have an interest or something we want to know about. And so we ask a question. And we expect an answer along the lines of what we're talking about. So if I say, hey, tell me about your job. And you answer me, well, my cousin Ed lives in California. And he goes to the store every Friday. Well, that's not what I asked, right? I asked you a question that I wanted an answer to. All we're interested in asking is what we want to know. When we listen, our primary concern becomes, what is God saying? What does God want to communicate to me? We start to ask things because of what God has just said, instead of asking them to know. We ask to understand and clarify what we've heard. Our primary interests shift from getting answers to hearing God speak. When we ask, we expect clear and practical guidelines. I ask God this question. God, give me 4 steps for exactly what I should do now or exactly when the answer is coming. We ultimately are the ones in charge of the conversation, and we want it answered on our terms. If God delays in answering, we get frustrated because we ask the questions. But when we listen, we start to learn we're not in control of the one to whom we speak. That God leads the conversation, not us. So we're more patient in the listening. We're more open to ambiguity. Because we realize that his ways are above our ways and it may take us time to understand what's being said. When we ask, God is very peripheral to us. We have our life and the things that we do, and God is sort of the cosmic piggy bank, right? We ask things of him, but he's not really part of the core of who we are. His value is solely in what he can give us, or do for us, or answer for us. He's like cosmic customer service. Fix my whatever. We use him to get something, but he remains external. When we listen, the reason for talking to God and interacting with him is because of our relationship. The relationship is the foundation. It's intimate. It's close. It's not our desire to get what we're after, but our desire to know him better. When I look at these things, it's pretty clear to me that we're really good at asking and we're usually really bad at listening. How do we shift from one of these places to the other? I don't think, like all the others, this is one you shift. In fact, I've been thinking about this one in my life a lot. I feel like as I look back, there are places in my life where I took a couple steps toward listening, and then I walked back again. And then I took a couple steps toward listening, and then I took a couple steps back again. This might be a shift in your life, and probably will be that for most of your Christian life, you take a few steps forward and maybe a step back. But how do we move and shift from asking to listening? I don't think the answers to this one are very radical. I think they're pretty simple, but maybe that is the profoundness of them. So I'll just give you three things that I think help us to shift from asking in our relationship with God to in our soul wanting to listen to Him. The first one is just get alone. Get alone with God. Get alone with Him. Spend some time away from your phone, some time away from the internet, some time away from Google asking questions, some time away from your family maybe. I know that's hard. I know that's tough. I don't even have kids. I was around some yesterday and I was like, man, this is nuts. Right? I don't have it. I imagine it's hard to get away for 5 minutes, let alone 30. Try to find some time to get away. Maybe you have to go to some crazy measures. Spend some time alone with God. It's probably going to have to be longer than a couple minutes. It takes us in our culture a little while just to get quiet. It takes us a little while just to let our minds slow down so we can listen. Maybe for you, it's something as crazy as I just can't stop. I need to take an entire day and block it out to spend with God. That sounds nuts, I think, if you've never done it. But maybe that's what you need. Maybe there needs to be an intentional pulling back in your life, and you just need to block out a day and say, this is my time to spend with God. I'm going to take my Bible. I'm going to take a pen. I'm just going to go listen to what He wants to say. I even have a book in my office written by some guy when I was in school. It's tiny and short, and it's just called How to Have a Day Alone with God. Maybe that's what you need. It's just real practical steps for doing that. Get alone with Him. Practice listening. Practice contemplation. Slow your thoughts down. Don't rush through the Word. Listen to it. Pray slowly. Process the things God is saying. Get alone with Him and listen. The second thing is listen to the Scripture. Don't just get alone, but listen to the Bible. Don't just read it. We're really good at reading the Bible, right? We can just kind of plow right through it. Spend some time on it. Listen to it. Meditate on it. Interact with it. Think out loud as you read it. God, did you really mean that? What does it mean when you say that? I don't even like what you said right there. Interact with Scripture. Process the things that it's saying. Listen to what God's communicating to you. Argue with your Bible. It's okay. Be encouraged from the Scriptures. Spend time listening to what God's saying, whether it's really easy to hear or really difficult. Then maybe once you've heard it, then we can talk and say, God told me this thing. Can you believe that? Or what do you think about that? Spend some time listening to Scripture. The third one, be open to the possibility that God might speak to you in other ways. God can speak to us in a lot of ways. A lot of different ways. I know in my life, He's used people. He's used pictures. He's used songs. He's used His Word. He's used prayer. I just want to show you a quick video of people talking about ways in which they've heard God speak. And I'm wondering if some of these won't connect with the way that you might hear God best.
God speaks to me in many different ways, reading the Bible, through other individuals, friends, family members, even films.
God speaks to me through friends and family, and sometimes it's just a gentle voice in the back of my head.
He speaks to me through images and also through other people.
God speaks to me through the Bible and through pictures.
Through other people to direct me, often to my wife and my kids.
God speaks to me through friends and relationships.
Speaks through people and speaks through the world around us, different situations, and he often speaks through the Bible as well.
I think now it's more through, as I read Scripture, that I feel, you know, something being highlighted a lot. I tend to identify that as God's voice.
Sometimes it's through words, sometimes it's through listening and reading the Bible, but sometimes it's through conversations with friends and something just standing out and clicking?
I think God speaks to personality. So my personality is short and sweet, so God sort of speaks to me in little bites sometimes, not in big things, but sometimes just little short bites.
Oh, in lots of ways, through the word, through worship, through music, through the countryside, through my kids, through life in general.
God speaks to me in loads of different ways, like, can be watching a film, can be reading a book, something just pops out, and I'm like, that's got to be God. That's exactly what I need to say here.
I think God speaks to me through just all the situations I go through each day.
A variety of different ways. I think if I had to choose one way that God speaks to me, it's probably through the Bible. I believe that the Bible isn't just a 2,000-year-old book, that God really still does speak to people through it today, so it speaks to me through it.
God speaks to me in different ways. Lots of times it's a picture he'll give me, or a feeling, an emotion. And then I'll ask him what that's about, so I'll investigate.
God speaks to me a lot through creation. I love being out in the countryside, I love being out in the mountains, I love being by the sea, I love reading his word and hearing him speak through that, and I love the stillness.
For a while, I just saw rainbows everywhere when I was going through a really difficult time, and I just felt like God was saying every single day, be a rainbow, I'm promising you that you're in my hands and you can trust me. Very gently speaks to me.
Many ways, but God very often speaks to me when I'm reading his Bible or spending some time actually saying, do you want to speak to me, and shutting my mouth for it.
Sometimes when I'm reading the Bible, and verses particularly speak to me, more often, I know that it's speaking to me. I know that sounds funny, but you get, as a Christian, you get used to God's voice, and something will be in the back of my mind that if it's God, it just does not go away. Then I have to stop and listen and do what he says.
Sometimes you can almost hear him speaking to you, so if you spend a lot of time with him, you kind of get to hear his voice and you know what he sounds like.
So there's lots of ways. I show you that video, so it's not just Pastor Nate saying, there's all these ways that God speaks. You heard people talk about it. So many ways in which God speaks to them. And I think the thing that's striking to me at the end is to hear those people say, the more that I listen to him, the more I get used to hearing his voice, the easier it is to hear it, the more I'm able to listen. And then I have to do something with it because I've heard him speak. God's been asking us from the moment we came to him, can you hear me now? Probably even before we came to him. Are you listening? Do you have ears to hear? One of the marks of us growing in Christ is learning to listen to God before running to someone else for answers. To listen for him first and then pursue other avenues to answer our questions. I don't know what's going on in your life. I don't know where God might put his finger, but I would guess that he would speak to you in some ways that you're not even expecting. When I was in South Dakota at the church I was at, we had an intern one summer named Kyle. And Kyle was a great dude, college kid. He went to the same school Kyle's going to, Oklahoma Wesleyan. And he was at our church for the summer. And as a part of that, we had to go to this meeting for pastors and their families, ordination service, where all the people that have fulfilled the requirements get ordained. And so we are there, and we're not ordained, so we're sitting in the back, not paying as much attention as we should, honestly. So Kyle and I are sitting back there. Service has just kind of started. We're way in the back. It's a big building. And as we're sitting there, Kyle's sitting kind of right in front of me. And in the course of a song that's being sung that had absolutely nothing to do with what he was about to tell me, he just turns around to me and says, I feel like I'm supposed to plant a church in Utah. Never had that thought in his life. Never felt like he was supposed to plant a church. Never felt like he was supposed to move to Utah. But heard God saying something. And for the next months, it was like, is that really what you said, God? I'm going to spend more time listening. I'm going to spend time thinking. I'm going to ask you more questions. And eventually, he's actually in Utah right now, planning a church. Sometimes God says things to us that we're not even ready to hear, but he wants to speak. And we slowly start taking our steps toward listening and hearing what he says. And maybe like me, there's times that you don't listen as well, and then you have to be reminded to listen again. So I want to close service today a little different again. I want us to spend some time listening. I want us to spend some time listening to what it is that God might want to say to us today. Not because we have to, but because we want to. I'm going to ask you to close your eyes, but not because I need you to close them, because I think that we are so distracted by things that we see. We are so distracted by what's in front of us, and it's just one of those stages for us to remove distraction. So I'm just going to play an instrumental song for you called Be Still, My Soul. Be still, my soul, and listen. And I just want to ask you, will you take these moments in quiet to listen? What might God be wanting to say to you this morning? Father, we are so busy. We are so surrounded by distractions. God, it's hard for me to even sit still for 2.5 minutes. You want to speak to us. You want to speak and communicate. You want us to hear you in the deepest part of our soul. You want to speak from the cloud to us and say, this is my son. Ears to hear, listen. God, I pray for each of us in these coming weeks, will you provide us moments to just be reminded to step back, to calm and quiet ourselves and to listen, to run to you first, to hear what you'd have to say before we run to everyone else to find out what they think. Will you allow us to stop being so concerned about getting the answers to our questions and start to be so much more concerned about hearing what you're saying. This is a shift that I think my whole life you're going to work on. I think it's that way for all of us. Will you allow us to move a step closer to listening and a step further away from being so focused on asking? You do that work in our soul today. We love you. We thank you that you're interested enough in us to talk to us, to speak to us. The Almighty God is so concerned with the things that happen in our life that you want to speak into them. We're honored and humbled by that. We pray this week that you would just speak. We would have ears to hear. It's in your name.